Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're happy you're with us this evening. It's June 7th, 2026. Ed and I are still not in the studio because I had some projects going on at my house, and it prevents me from being able to get to the studio in a timely fashion. So Ed agreed to meet me on Zoom, and we're doing this over the internet this evening, and it's really nice to be here and to have this format. Whether we're at the church studio or not, God always seems to provide a way for us to be able to do this program, and we're grateful for that.
And yeah, it's interesting. I think we're always on the internet, are we not?
Yeah, we are, but we're usually in the same room.
Yeah.
And I can see you and you can see me. There might be a little bit of delay for those of you who are listening. If it takes me a moment or a couple of extra seconds to respond and vice versa with Ed, it's because he's in his home and I'm here in my home studio, and I'm just using a different mic than what we normally use. We have these really nice mics at the Prophecies of Hope studio that have a really full, rich sound. And this mic doesn't sound quite as good to me. But anyway, we want to first thank Ray Powers for giving us this format, keeping us on the air all of these years. And just thanks to him and New Visions Radio for keeping things going for us when we can't get in the studio and when we can't come together to do a program. So, Ed, have things been going okay for you?
Yeah, just normal life, enjoying the weather. It's been really nice here, getting my garden in, of thing.
Good, good. Very nice. That's a good thing. I didn't plant a garden this year, but a few years ago, we would do some at my shop. But it's just having time. If it's not home, it's hard to do it. It's hard to do it when it's away from home. But you know, it's been, so far we've had some good rain here, and it's been a pretty good year for it. It dried out a little bit, but everything seems to be going pretty well here in Virginia. And tell us a little bit about this ministry, Ed, Prophecies of Hope.
We're just a little small ministry here in Virginia. We have services on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for a Bible study prayer time, available via Zoom. And we have our church service on the Sabbath or Saturday, the seventh day of the week. And we have a Bible study called Sabbath School at 9:30, which is live streamed as well as available via Zoom. And we also have our church service at 11, our worship hour, and that's live streamed as well.
Yeah. So if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. How do they reach you, Ed?
You can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
Or if you can't remember our name, simply send an email to office@prophecyhope.com. Whether it's a Bible question or you just want to say hello, if you're ever in the Stanton, Virginia area, pay us a visit. We'd love to have you. If we know you're coming, we'll make sure we have a fellowship meal ready for you so we can feed you and just spend an afternoon together. And again, we meet on the biblical Sabbath. It's not Sunday. It's Saturday, the seventh day of the week. And, you know, Ed, you recently gave a sermon about the law and how it seems that so many people are trying to trample on that law, including a lot of ministers tend to do that. They want to disregard it.
You know, it's interesting. I was just reading something the other day. I know we need to get to the study, but it was talking about the different pagan gods and how they've been intertwined with Christianity. And one of them is Mirtha, which is the name of a sun god.
That's right.
And the word Mirtha means Lord.
Isn't that something?
The Lord's Day, Sunday.
Wow. You know,
that's probably where that originated.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? But when we read in the Bible, you know, in the book of Revelation, it speaks of, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. In the Lord's Day, it says. And our understanding of the Bible is that the Lord's Day, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath.
Right.
So the Lord's Day would be the Sabbath day, the seventh day, not the first day of the week. So it's amazing how the devil gets everything all twisted around, and people just simply, I grew up not knowing any better, being against so many pagan beliefs, but yet my church was worshiping on Sunday and they've done away with the commandments of God. And it's just, I grew up that way. So when I came to know that the commandments were for Christians, it was a life-changing moment for me and for the better. It's not the restriction that so many people think it is. It's a blessing to know these things. It really is. So I do want to say too, if anybody out there, if you're listening to this program and if you don't have a copy of the Bible and you would like a copy, or if you know somebody that needs a copy of the Bible, let us know and we will do our best to make sure we can get you a copy of the Bible, whether it's King James or New King James, and we will try to have it mailed to you so long as it's legal to mail it to whatever country or wherever in the world you are. If you're in the United States, we'll make sure you get one. If you're in another country, as long as we can get it there legally through customs, we will make sure that you get a copy of the Bible. And so be sure to contact us if you would like us to send you one. So, Ed, my voice is a little weak here this evening for some reason, but that's all right. I'll power through this. And would you have a prayer for us before we begin?
Sure, let's go ahead and pray. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful for the blessings that you give us in our life and for the gift of your Son, Jesus, and for the gift of your word, the Bible. And Father, as we look at the life of Jesus on this earth and his ministry and the words that he preached and the things that he did, may you give us understanding of what it means for us today, how much you love us and want the best for us, and that, Father, we can learn so much from Christ's life on this earth. Father, as we study in Matthew chapter 12 today, may you give us wisdom and understanding and guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, we were in, as you said in your prayer, we've been in Matthew chapter 12, and where are we picking up this week?
Well, we're going to be at the end of the chapter, the last 5 verses, starting in verse 46. And I'm going to be reading from the modern King James, starting in Matthew 12, verse 46. But while he yet talked with the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside, desiring to speak with him. Then one said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers stand outside, desiring to speak with you. And he answered and said to him who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hands towards his disciples and said, behold, my brother, my mother and my brothers. For whoever shall do the will of my Father in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother.
That's interesting because, within the church, when we're in ministry, sometimes we refer to one another as brother or sister. And this is according to what Jesus is saying here. So, yeah, he says in verse 48, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And it says he stretched his hand toward his disciples. So, in order to be a brother with Christ, we have to be doing the will of God. We have to be like Christ. This is how we're identified. We're identified as sons of God by being obedient to God, by doing the things that God has given us to do.
The Bible talks about Jesus saying, I have come to do thy will. And so this was Jesus' desire in John chapter 4 in the account of Jesus interacting with a woman at the well. And in that process, the disciples had gone to get food for him. And when they came back, they told him to eat the food. And he said, I have food to eat, which you do not know. And the disciples went, well, who brought him food? And Jesus told him, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And so Jesus in Matthew 12, 50, when he says, whoever shall do the will of my Father in heaven, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother, because they're doing the same work that he's trying to do the will of his Father. So that way they're united in their work that they're doing.
Sure. In fact, Jesus in another place references when he's talking about that with God all things are possible. He tells his disciples that he says, There is no one who has left house or brothers, talking about our actual, our physical, literal brothers, our siblings. He says, there is no one who has left brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters. Of course, here he's speaking of these brothers and sisters. He is in Matthew chapter 12. And he says, brothers and sisters and lands with persecutions and the age to come, eternal life. So we may, because of our stand for Christ, we might be persecuted. We might have family members that turn away from us. We might have relatives, friends, people that we've known all of our lives, sometimes will actually turn away from you. And because you believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And that's happened to me. And that's happened to you.
Yeah, mine has been more subtle. Yours is more in your face.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. But either way, it has an impact. It doesn't, you know, it affects us, but there is still joy in knowing that we're doing the right thing when we're following Christ.
Sure. Well, why don't we go on to chapter 13 of Matthew?
Okay.
And I think this will be interesting. It's the parable of the sower. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 9 of Matthew 13. And again, this is the modern King James Version. In that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great crowds were gathered to him, so that he went out into a boat and sat, and all the crowd stood on the shore. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they sprang up immediately because they had no deepness of earth. And the sun rising, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And some fell on the good ground and yielded fruit, indeed 100-fold, and 160, and 130. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so this is a parable that Jesus spoke. And, you know, you can say, well, what is he talking about? And how do we know what he's talking about? And so it's pretty easy. You just keep reading. And
yeah,
he interprets that parable for them.
Sure. And it makes the illustration that he used make a lot of sense if we keep reading.
So verse 10 is interesting. The disciples said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus answered in verse 11 and said, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but is not given to them. Remember we haven't gotten there yet, but in Matthew 16, he talks about giving the keys of the kingdom to Peter, and as Peter is a representative of the disciples, to the rest of the disciples as well. And that key is the key of knowledge, the knowledge of the gospel. That's what he's given them as the keys to the kingdom. And here he's kind of the same thing, only in a different way, that it's given to them to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but not given to them. So Jesus explains the parables to them, but others aren't real clear about what he's saying.
Right.
So continuing in verse 12, it says, for whoever has, to him shall it be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whoever does not have, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, nor do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart has become gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and they have closed their eyes, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear what you hear and have not heard them. So there's a prophecy in Isaiah that talks about this.
Chapter
and
6,
it's found
is it?
In Isaiah chapter 6.
Yeah.
And it's verses 8 through 13. And really the gist of all this is the people didn't want to hear. They didn't want to see the truth that Jesus was presented. They didn't want to be healed. They wanted to continue living the lives the way they're used to.
Yeah.
And in Isaiah 6, verses 8 through 13, do you have that?
I do. I have that right here. It says Isaiah 6, beginning in verse 8. Make sure I've got the right chapter here. Yep. It says, also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. And he said, go tell the people this, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and the ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he said, until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate. Jehovah has removed men far away, and forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it, and will return and be for consuming as a terebinth tree or as an oak whose stump remains when it is cut down. So the holy seed shall be its stump.
You know, talking about there will be a remnant of believers, a small number of people that will continue to serve God and to believe in him and to be obedient to him.
Isn't
you know,
that
it's
what, oh, I'm sorry, Ed.
Go ahead.
Didn't Jesus' words, didn't he say that there were two roads? There's a wide road and there's a narrow road. And he says the wide road, many people find it, but that narrow road, only a few find it. And this is the ones that this is talking about, those few
right.
that find that road to life.
You know, it's God's desire that all men come to repentance, to salvation through the Son of God. But apparently there's few men that desire that as well.
It's really hard for me to comprehend, Ed, and I guess it's because people haven't seen, they haven't experienced Jesus in their lives, maybe. Maybe that's why it's so few and far between. But you know, there's a Bible verse where God says, taste and see that I am good.
Right.
And people would just take the time, slow down a little bit, take a moment and open God's word and read from it and see the love that God has for you and the pains that he's gone through to save all men. And yet the majority of men will turn away from him. It's really sad.
You know, we get a little bit of an answer in Matthew 13, 15, where it says, you know, they don't hear, they close their eyes. At least at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and then I should heal them. They don't want to be converted. They don't want to be healed. Maybe they don't see the need for it, but this is what the gospel is about being converted from a stony heart to a fleshy heart, to from living in the flesh to walking in the spirit. You know, so that's what God desires for each one of us, but it's not necessarily a popular message in the world.
It's something how this topic of living in the spirit and giving up those desires of our fleshly selves keeps coming up. It's really the theme of the Bible. to live according to God's spirit, according to the fruit of the spirit. And it doesn't do away with the law. It actually establishes the law. It upholds the law. It shows that God's law is holy, it's pure, it's good, because doing those things according to the fruitage of the spirit, we naturally keep the law without even being an effort to keep the law. It's just a natural happening. It's just what happens when you have the fruit of the spirit working with you. We talked about that at length last week. Your sermon recently talked about those things. And this is the theme of the Bible from the fall of man all the way through to the restoration of the earth at the end.
Sure. What you're talking about is, you know, the fullness of the gospel. Oftentimes it's just referred to as Jesus' death on the cross and his blood shed for our sins, which is vitally important. But it doesn't end there. You know, the gospel continues that Jesus, God has sent his son, Jesus' spirit into our hearts so we can walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. And to have a changed life, a changed heart, a changed mind, that is for our betterment here on this earth, as well as leads to eternal life.
That's so true. You know, I think if we, he explains this parable from verse 13 on, and I think there's a lot to talk about there, unless you had something else you wanted to discuss here.
Well, we ended with verse 17. So if you want to start in 18.
Okay. All right. So this is Matthew chapter, I'm sorry,
13.
You know what I did? I went to the parallel account. I was reading along in the parallel account of Mark chapter 4 while you were doing that. Let me get back to Matthew.
Okay, sorry, Matthew 13.
Yeah.
And starting with verse 18.
Okay. Yeah, see, in Mark, this parable starts being explained in verse 10. So, or verse.
Well, it's understandable that Mark would could be confused with Mark.
That's right. Oh, that's good. All right. So here we go. This is Matthew chapter 13, and I'm just going to read 18 through 23.
Okay.
It says, and this is the New King James. It says, "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. And he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and cares of this word and cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30.
So this kind of explains the parable. The seed is the word of God. And of course, this program is about sharing the word of God with others. And it's and the different places where the seed lands kind of is a demonstration of how people receive it in this life. A seed sown by the wayside is when it's sown and grows a little bit in the heart, you know, Satan comes along and you know, destroys it.
Right.
The one which is stone in the sown in the stony place, they hear the word and are excited and are joyful when they receive it at first, but it takes no root. It's temporary. There's no change in their life. And so when tribulation, hardship, or persecution arises on the account of the word, account of what they have learned and believed and were joyful at first, then they stumble. You know, it's interesting that at first it's so joyful and it's exciting to hear. But when on account of that word that they receive the joy, they come under tribulation or persecution for believing that, then they stumble.
When time gets tough, what do we do? That's what this is talking about.
Yeah.
And this is why it's important to have the word rooted. If you just scatter it along the road, there's always going to be some that grows, whether it's grass seed or whatever it is. But the problem is, if it can't get down deep in the soil, if a wind comes along or a big torrential rain comes along or somebody walks along, they can uproot it so easy. Where if it's in good soil, you can walk on grass and it doesn't hurt it. You can just walk across it and it'll just keep growing. It'll pop right back up.
It talks about that the seed that's sown in the thorns is the one who hears the word, but the anxieties of the world, the stresses of the world, the fears of things happening in our lives, and the deceit of riches choke the word, and he
Yes.
becomes unfruitful. He doesn't bear any fruit. He doesn't grow up and produce the fruit that seed is supposed to produce.
This could also be likened to distractions of the world, things that get in our way, whether it's what we watch. We talked about that a little in the last couple of weeks. The things that we watch, the things that we listen to that pull us away from the Word of God. We're filling, what do we fill our minds with? What, there's an old saying in the computer world, they call it garbage in, garbage out. And so if I put garbage into my eyes and my mouth and into my ears, then all that's going to come out of my mouth and all I'm going to produce is garbage.
Right.
It's just the way it works. But if I put good data in, if I take in spiritual information, if I learn about God and His Son Jesus Christ, then the Word of God can take root in my heart and it'll withstand the tests that the devil throws at me. So it's really
Yeah,
important. Guard our heart.
it talks about the seed that's sown on the good ground as well.
Yes,
And
it
this is the
does.
one who hears the word and understands and bears fruit. And some can produce a hundredfold, some 60-fold, and 130. When you grow a seed, like in my garden, I plant a seed. Let's say it's green beans, and one seed that grows up then plant produces many green beans that has many seeds in it. And that's what it's talking about in terms of a spiritual application, that when Christ enters into our hearts and produces a change in our life, then we go on to share that with others, and it produces changes in others' life, producing fruit, not only in others' life, but changes our hearts, changes the way we act and interact with people and what we think about.
Well, it's so true, Ed. And I told you right at the outset, we were talking about planting a garden. I told you we used to do one at my shop. And there's a building we'd put it right next to. And the sun comes up, of course, in the east and comes across the sky. Well, the building that I, one of the buildings I have was to the east of the garden. And so the crops that were on the western side of that would get the sun before the ones on the east, and it would keep it throughout the day till the sunset. And you would see progressively that those plants on the eastern side of that yard were very shallow. And as they went along, they would gradually be taller and taller. And if we look at the sunlight and the provision that it gives to those plants, I was thinking it's just like the Son of God. If we have the Son of God, we're going to flourish, we're going to be healthy. And we don't need him just sometimes, we need him all of the time.
Right.
Those plants that get the sunlight. And Jesus is the light of the world. If we have him, we're going to be well rooted. We're going to grow to be a healthy plant. We're going to be in that vine. All of these analogies and illustrations that Jesus used are really beautiful for knowing and understanding how we can grow in him.
It's interesting. The next parable in Matthew 13 is, in my Bible, it's called the parable of the weeds, and it really is similar to what Jesus said. In verse 24, he said he put out another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is compared to a man who sows good seed in his field. But while the man slept, his enemy came and sowed darnel with among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade had sprung up and had produced fruit, then the darnel also appeared. So the servant of the household came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Then where have the darnel come from?" And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, at least while you gather up the darnel, you also root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, 'First gather together the darnel, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my granary.'" So the word of God is the seed sowing. But Satan comes along and sows a different word, a
right.
different seed that produces
Darnel. Darnel are
falseness.
weeds. I just want to, mine says tares, but darnel is weeds, really, is what it is, isn't it?
So these are sown in terms of trying to ruin the crop. That's what Satan's trying to do. And so he sows different doctrines in the churches, in people's lives, teaches them false things about the Bible, sows bad seed in their hearts. And
yes.
Many people believe this, what he's sown, and they don't compare the Word of God to what people are saying.
This is so important, Ed, because one of the things that happens, if you have weeds and the plants growing together, sometimes you can't tell one from the other when they're very, very young and tender. And so as they grow and mature, and then we start seeing fruitage sprout and vegetables sprout off of those crops, we can tell the difference then. So the devil, that's what he wants to do. He's trying to get us confused that we can't, that people sometimes can't differentiate the truth from the error.
The weed from the true crop.
That's right. And
yeah.
we need to, this is why we need to be rooted in the Word of God and not believe what men say, but what God's Word says.
So, yeah, this is interesting. He goes on to talk in Matthew 13:1 about the mustard seed and the leaven. Let me just read verses 31 through 33.
Okay.
He put out another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is among the greatest among the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in its branches. He spoke another parable to them. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, when a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until the whole was leavened." So this mustard seed is a very small seed and may seem insignificant, but it can grow into a tree
right.
to support birds.
Yeah, just a little fact about the mustard seed. At that time when this was written, it was likely one of the smallest seeds known to man that they were familiar with in that region where this was being written. So most people were familiar with it. And the mustard seed is about 0.05 inches. 0.05. You think about that. That's tiny. And this can grow into a tree that can be up to 15 feet tall from this little tiny seed. So it's a really good illustration. It really tells us a lot about the power that and the what Jesus Christ can do for us. It really is a great illustration.
And you know, the power of the Word of God, the seed, you know, that you may, you know, share something with somebody. It may seem insignificant. It may seem like they're not going to listen. It's not going to make any difference. But
right.
you don't know. Sometimes just planting that small little seed in someone's mind, in someone's heart, can make a big difference later on in their life.
Sure. And for those who have ministries, individual ministries, sometimes when you plant a crop, I know a lot of times when people plant corn, they might put 4 or 5 little corn, little nuggets of corn in the ground, And they feel like, well, if I get one or two stalks from this, I'm doing pretty good. So just because you plant a seed doesn't mean that seed's going to take root. Sometimes you have to plant many seeds in order for it to take root. So don't be discouraged if you witness to somebody and they don't respond right away. And I've had people, Ed, and you have too, that they respond right away, but it didn't take root and they fall off. Just to go back to the parable that Jesus spoke of earlier,
Right.
it's exactly the way it happens sometimes.
This parable of the leaven is the same idea. She took a little bit of leaven and hid it in 3 measures of meal. Yet that little bit leavened the whole meal. All the measures of meal, all 3 measures, even though it was a small amount. So again, that small little seed or that small amount of leaven planted in somebody's heart or somebody's mind, planting parts of the gospel can make a big difference in
Yeah,
someone's life.
it surely can. It's pretty amazing. So yeah, that was verse 33, isn't it? That talks about the leaven.
So let's go on to verses 34 and 35. Can you read that for us, Mark?
Sure. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. It says, all these, is that right? 12? Yeah, chapter 12. Or no, we're in chapter 13, aren't we? Yeah. Chapter 13, verse 34, it says, all these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable, he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world.
Does that remind you of anything?
Uttering things in parables, keeping things, would that be a maybe something that's a mystery to people, which is the gospel.
Yeah. It reminds me of Colossians chapter 1. And let's go there quickly, talking
Sure.
about things hidden from people. And I'm sure you've heard this before if you've listened to this program for very long. This is Paul speaking about his ministry in Colossians chapter 1. And in verse 25, starting in my Bible in the middle of a sentence, says, of which I became a minister according to the administration of God given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints, for them to God would make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, so that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. For which I also labor, striving according to the working of him who works in me in power. Paul talking about himself. He's experiencing the same thing himself personally. So when Jesus says, I will mo open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Part of that is, the gift of the Spirit, the promise of the Father, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yeah, Ed, when I read this, it reminds me of people sometimes will say that they'll look at a text like this and they'll say, well, God is a mystery. But that's not what this is talking about. I've never seen anywhere in the Bible where it speaks of God as a mystery, but that the mystery is being revealed to us.
Yeah, God's the owner of a mystery, and he's revealing that mystery to us. If you continue on in Colossians and go into chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, for I want you to know, remember, we just continued what we just left off reading about Christ in you, the hope of glory. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all the riches of the full assurance of the understanding, to the full knowledge of the mystery of God and the Father and Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so he wants everybody to have the full assurance of understanding, to the full knowledge of the mystery of God, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, which we just read just a few verses earlier.
Yeah,
So many
so
people
go
take
ahead.
these verses and say, God's a mystery. You can't understand them. People that believe in the Trinity, I don't know, probably people listening may believe in the Trinity. The only way they can explain it is say it's a mystery. You can't understand it.
But God
And
is
so
made.
my question is, if it's a mystery and you can't understand it, how did you come up with this doctrine of the Trinity? If you can't
That's a
understand
really
it.
good point. That's a very good point. If you
The
can't.
Bible's pretty clear that there's only one God, and that's the Father and God of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's his
Yes.
literal Son. And
So
God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. And through Christ, we receive the Spirit of the Father.
amen. So this is telling us that this mystery has been revealed to God's people. So God
You
is not
talk about
mystery. Go ahead.
weeds planting among the wheat.
That's it. Yeah. What was the an enemy has done this, right? That's what Jesus
Yes.
says. An enemy has done this. And this is what the enemy, the adversary, this is what he wants to do. He wants to confuse us. He wants to get you to where, if he can steer you away from God and from Jesus Christ and from not accepting Jesus as the Son of God, as he truly is, and believing that he's someone else, then the devil has, what he's done is he's planted this seed of weeds in your mind, and it's taking root. And really, this is actually, this might sting a little bit. But if we're not worshiping the true God and we're believing the things that the devil is saying, this is a form of worship to the devil. This is really what happened when Adam and Eve chose, when Adam chose to go against God, he was actually showing honor. He was glorifying the devil and what he said rather than glorifying God and what he said.
Sure. Who you obey is who you worship. And someday we'll get to Revelation 14 where that's clearly revealed. This conflict between the beast and the mark of the beast, and all the world wandered after the beast. But there are a few, a remnant, that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So you have to make a choice. Do I follow the law of this beast? You say you have to worship on a certain day, or do we follow the commandments of God? It tells us to worship on the seventh day, to honor the seventh day, to glorify God by being obedient to him.
And not to worship false gods or bow to false gods or bow to
Right.
idols. So, really, this is really important. You said something that struck a that made me think something, Ed. You were talking about worshiping. Can you back up for just a moment and state what you did again? Because
Well,
it's so
Revelation
important.
14 is about who you obey. There's a section starting with verse 6, I believe. And it goes through, I think, verse 12. And there's three angels with three different messages. The first one is worship God. This is proclaimed as the gospel, and it's proclaimed with a loud voice. And so it's worship God, for judgment has come. The hour of judgment has come. Worship him who created the heavens, the earth, and the seas, which of course is Jehovah, Yahweh, the Father and God of Jesus Christ, who created the world through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so then the next one is, and the second angel talks about come out of Babylon, And then the third one is talking about the results if you worship the beast or have the mark of the beast in your hand or in your forehead. And, I was thinking about this. We've always understood that having the mark in your hand means you may not believe what they're telling you to do, but you go ahead and do it anyways. But if you have the mark in your forehead, then it means you believe and you follow because you believe it's the right thing to do. So when we look at Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that Eve was deceived, but Adam wasn't.
Right.
Eve
So,
believed Satan over God. She knew
she
what
did.
God said, but she decided to follow Satan's advice instead because she believed him. She was deceived. That's having the mark in your forehead. Adam knew better. He knew what was going on, yet he chose to be disobedient to God in spite of knowing it was the wrong thing to do.
You know, that's
So,
really sad when you think about it. And I remembered what I was going to say. You mentioned that there is a remnant. And I just want to make clear, so many people associate this word remnant with maybe a denomination or a church name or a specific group of people. The remnant are people who are worshiping God in spirit and in truth.
It really is Revelation 14, 12. It says, here's the patience of the saints. Here are the ones who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.
Yes.
That's the remnant. They, I'm sure they'll be scattered all over the world
Sure.
when
I
Christ
believe,
comes again.
yeah, I believe that they are scattered all over the world. There might be little pockets of people here or there. I think too that when we think of a remnant, so many people will read parts of the Bible and they'll think, well, that's the Jews. But if the Jews are not accepting, if you are Jewish and you accept Christ Jesus, then you can be part of that remnant. But
Sure.
if you are Jewish and you reject the Son of God, even if you're keeping the commandments, you don't meet the criteria for being one of the remnant. You're not a saint. You're not going to be one of the saints. The patience of the saints is keeping the commandments and the faith of Jesus.
Right.
It isn't just one or the other, it's both.
So there's many different churches and organizations, and it talks about the end of the age or the end of the world before Christ comes. There's a warning given. And it says, the great city Babylon has fallen because of the wine of the anger of her fornication. She has made all nations to drink. And this wine of the anger of fornication is talking about the false doctrines that she insists on people believing. If you don't, then you're going to be put to death. And that's what we learn from reading Revelation chapter 13 and 14. And in verse 9 of Revelation 14, there's a third angel saying, if anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark in his forehead or his hand, he will also drink of the wine of the anger of God, having been mixed undiluted in the cup of his wrath, and he will be tormented by fire and brimstone before the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And it goes on to say, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. Those who worship the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name. And so there's a lot into what I just read, and it would take quite a bit of time to go over each little statement. And many people are confused about some of the things that's being said there. But here's the gist. Who are the saints? These are the ones that keep the commandments of God. They're obeying God and not obeying Babylon, this beast of Revelation 13. And so everyone has the ability to make a choice.
Yes. It was
Choose
up
who
to
you're going to
Adam and Eve to
worship.
make a choice.
Who you're going to worship, who you're going to serve.
So it's really amazing, and all these things go together. So when we read back here in Matthew chapter 13, it says in verse 35 that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world." These things are being revealed today. They've been being revealed. There's really no excuse for us to not know and understand these things, especially in the times that we're living now, with the Bible being abundantly available to everyone at this point.
In the book of Daniel, the angel at the end of the book of Daniel tells Daniel to seal up these words. That means
until the
people
time
won't
of
be
the
able to
end.
understand them, won't be able to understand the prophecy until the time of the end.
That's right.
Daniel is now understood.
Yes, it is.
Much of it, anyways. I'm not sure we completely understand all of it, but.
Yeah, I don't know that we understand it fully, but we know enough to know that we're certainly living in unparalleled times in Bible history, and we know where we are in that image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream. We
Right.
realize that all of those kingdoms have come, that the kingdom of Rome still stands, that we're living in the feet, we're deep down in the feet of that image of Daniel chapter 2. And in Daniel chapter 7, a lot of the things that Rome is to do have come to fruition. There are still a few small things yet that may need to happen, but it's not going to be long in our understanding of the Bible. It won't be too long before that stone cut out of the mountain without hands crushes and puts an end to all of the kingdoms of the world. That's coming. That's really next on the list of prophecies.
Sure, and will establish the kingdom without end,
Yes.
which is the
And
kingdom of Christ.
yes, and it will last forever. We'll live forever. And this is why we are so we want this message to be urgent. We want people to come to know, because again, we say it constantly over and over. You folks might get tired of hearing it, but anything can happen. Just not that long ago, Ed and I lost a dear friend that was in ministry with us that unexpectedly, he was here one day, gone the next. And he was in the hospital, but we expected him to get out. We don't know what's going to happen. So don't delay. Don't delay.
Why don't
So,
we continue on in Matthew chapter 13?
sure.
This next section, starting in verse 36, says, "The parable of the weeds explained." I'm
Okay.
going to be reading from the Modern King James Version. It says in verse 36, "Then sending the crowds away, Jesus went into the house, and his disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the darnel of the field.' He answered and said to them, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man.'" So who's the Son of Man?
That would be Jesus.
Yeah, so he's the one sowing the good seed, the word. The field is the world. The good seed are the sons of the kingdom, but the darnel are the sons of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the darnel are gathered and burned in the fire, so it shall be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send out his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and all those who do iniquity or sin, and shall cast them.
Practice lawlessness is what the
Yeah.
New King James says.
And shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and quenching of teeth. Then the righteous shall shine out like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who hears has ears to hear, let him hear. So that's pretty a plain explanation. It's Jesus is the sower, the field is the world. He's sowing the good seed, but there's an enemy. Satan, the devil, Lucifer, whatever name you want to use, he's sowing bad seed. The good seed are the sons of the kingdom, and the bad seed are the sons of Satan, the followers of Satan.
Yes. And it
And
says that the tares or the weeds are gathered and burned in the fire so that it will be the end of this age. And so when it says burned in the fire, it doesn't, when you throw weeds or leaves or whatever it is in a fire, they burn up. They don't continue to burn forever and ever.
right.
And this is another false doctrine that so many Christians have been taught. But the fire goes out. The result is eternal, but the fire will go out. So we have about 2 minutes, Ed.
Right. Well, let's do verse 44 then.
Sure.
Matthew 13:44, Modern King James Version. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which when a man has found it, he hides it. And for the joy of it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Do you see great value in the gospel of Jesus Christ to the point that you will get rid of everything else, that nothing compares in value, that this is a treasure and sells all that he has and buys that field?
Ed, earlier in this study, we had talked about the disciples when Jesus came to them. They quit their jobs. They left everything and followed him. It
Yeah,
was
their
that
jobs, their
valuable to them.
families, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that valuable. And now it's really something when you think about that. How many people would be willing to do that? How many people are willing just to say, hey, this is important work. This has to be done. And so,
Verses 45
yeah.
and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he has found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, do you see the value in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, what he's done for you personally? Is it,
Wow.
do you see the value that you'll get rid of all the other stuff in your life that distract and take you away from that? To take you away from the gospel, take you away from the relationship with Jesus, and that you value these things so much that you're willing to make those changes in your life.
And I think that the problem is people don't recognize the value because they haven't taken time to analyze it. They haven't stopped and slowed down to look at it. Edward, we're actually out of time, but let's pick up next week here, at verse 47.
Okay.
Mine says the parable of the dragnet. That's how mine is labeled here. So,
Mine says parable of the net.
of the net. Okay. So we'll
Okay.
pick up here in Matthew chapter 13, verse 47 next week. Let's have a closing word of prayer, okay? Father in heaven, what a blessing it is to just read these things from your son and just to see the beautiful parables that he shares and how they can apply to us today. Father, may each of us in our own way be willing to leave all things and forsake these worldly things for your kingdom, for the things that you want us to pursue. Father, may we pursue your son, Jesus Christ. May we ask him and invite him into our hearts and minds that we can have the spirit of truth, that we can cry, Abba, Father, that we can be changed by Christ living in us. And Father, I just ask this for each one here that they would just take a moment and have this prayer and turn to you and see the benefits that they get from it, eternal benefits. So, Father, please keep us until we come together again. We thank you so much for this avenue you've given us of prayer and this time to study. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Ed, thank you again for leading this study. I look forward to next Sunday, 7 p.m., right here on New Visions Radio. And friends, until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.